This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on information technology penetration in India. The participants are Jiten Kumar Jain, IT expert, and Gaurav Dhawanlal, anchor.
The IT revolution has literally revolutionized our day-to-day lives, from creating jobs in the economy to raising our ease of living index. IT has been the cornerstone of progress in most spheres today. We already know that Tier 1 cities like Mumbai, Delhi, Chennai, etc. have been at the receiving end of this silent revolution and its benefits. But have the benefits filtered down to Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities? Well, that's what we shall be speaking about today. Please join me in welcoming IT expert Jiten Kumar Jain, our guest for today. Jiten, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me today.
Jiten, just at the beginning to get an overview and most of India's population, because now Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities have more job creation, they have more people moving in, and when we talk of jobs, people moving from smaller districts to larger cities, that migration, a lot of that now is focused on Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. What do you think has been the role that IT has played in this?
I think if you look at India's journey in last 10 to 15 years, every successive government in last 20 years, I think we've had four governments, is the fourth government, and all successive governments have focused on the penetration of information technology across India, right from optic fiber cables to panchayats to villages to making every public services, which was caught in red tapism, bureaucracy and delays, and just put it in online mode so that it is accessible to everyone without any delay, without any red tapism. And especially after 2014, under the Digital India program, there has been a concentrated effort by the government to digitalize every public service, right from tenders to issuing certificates to issuing registrations to issuing subsidies, benefit transfers, online mode in a very transparent manner. Now, initially, many people thought that this has got something to do with the information technology only in that sector or IT industry. But I think the bigger aim of the government was to bring in transparency and cut down corruption and red tapism, and which would have benefited all, especially the people who are living in the rural areas. Now, second, there was then a conversation in the next 3 to 4 years when the benefits of Digital India program started to be seen widely, that the benefits of these programs might get cornered or might get concentrated into specific urban geographies. And these expenditures on these programs might not be socially inclusive. Only urban cities, urban companies, urban population might benefit because they can speak English. They are very tech savvy. But if you look now 20 years down the line, I think all those assumptions have proven to be false, incorrect. Almost all the benefits of this technological revolution which India has seen in the last 15, 20 years have trickled down to our Tier 2 cities, Tier 3 cities and the rural areas. The benefits have reached to the people who are standing at the last leg of societies. And I can give you three very specific examples. It is because of technology today, people sitting in urban, rural areas are able to get world-class education, including e-schooling, digital courses, online education in distance mode. It is because of the penetration of information technology and high-speed optic fiber networks and online apps, they are able to get quality treatment in collaboration with the hospital in urban cities. It is because of the penetration of technologies and then, you know, the integration of satellite data and then the service delivery, our farmers are able to get precise weather data, advices on what crops to plant, helps with the precision farming. And last, and it is because of the penetration of technologies, enabled platforms, especially the digital public infrastructure like Aadhaar and then UPI, you have got almost 40% population, more than what was covered 10 years ago. And I think more than 40 crore people have enrolled themselves into Jan Dhan accounts. And that has benefited largely the rural population in Tier 3 cities. And mind you, these were the people who never had a bank account. They were part of the unstructured parallel economy. They are now a part of mainstream structured banking economy, or financial economy, and they are getting those benefits. So I think it is because of technology, a lot of benefits which otherwise people would have been left out with are now available to every person sitting in rural areas and Tier 2 and 3 cities.
So please help us understand that when we say the spread of digitization, when we talk about the IT revolution, and I'm sure we're a nation on the move, we're also a nation in a hurry because we really don't, everything is moving so fast, things are changing so fast. Yeah. We're a young population and aspirational. Now, in the hurry to digitize or in the speed that we want, what are some checks and balances that we need to keep in mind?
I think largely you see every successive government, as I said, have tried this. But this government in particular and this Prime Minister in particular, because Prime Minister Modi is a very tech-savvy person. He loves technology. So earlier governments may have tried to bring in more technology and more social inclusion for the usage of technology, but he has made it his focus area and the prime program, and he has followed through on it. And at the speed that the Modi government has digitalized the entire economy in the last 10 years, it's unbelievable. Like, nobody would have ever imagined that a day would come in India when you would have at least around 85 crore people using internet. And out of those 85 crores, 45 crore people will be based in rural areas. I mean, who could have imagined this 15 years ago that India's rural population will have more access to technology than in the urban centers? Mm-hmm. And mind you, we are not talking about tier 2 and tier 3 cities. We are talking about villages, panchayats and rural areas. So that has been a significant flag bearer of India's success story, this trinity of Jan Dhan, Aadhaar and mobile phones. They have brought so much of benefits. And one could talk about like public service delivery, like ration cards, which are available to the villages or the postman which comes to deposit your money. These are visible at surface. But if you look behind the larger picture, look, today most of the content, which is education content or medical content or advisory content, agriculture, is being made available in local languages. Now, that is primarily done to have a mass reach across rural India, because people in urban cities are anyways able to speak English language and other languages. But the most of the government is focusing on localization of content. So that's one of the checks and balance which has come in, that look, while we go at this massive speed to digitalize everything, we must ensure that nobody is left behind and everybody is able to get the benefits of technology irrespective of language barrier. Now, second, when COVID came, I think India was probably the only country which was able to transfer some amount of money, initially starting with 5,000 rupees in every bank account. It was possible without any delay or correction, because we had that 40 crore Jan Dhan accounts which were available. We have those accounts which were linked to Aadhaar entity. We had people who were using mobile phones and they were able to receive money instantly. So I think this whole digital public infrastructure is one of the India's success story. And it is also a checks and balance that while we invest in technology, we are trying to ensure that benefits are not cornered by the urban geographies, but there is an equitable distribution of benefits and wealth and the purpose of that technological revolution even in rural areas. And last point, look at technology like UPI. Now, to an uneducated person in rural India, you could have said that how will he get laptop, or he may not know how to browse internet. He may not know how to use online banking. He may not be able to keep his password safe. He might not be able to use debit cards, but he might have to go to bank in some nearby city to transfer some money. But in one stroke of a technological evolution like UPI, today people who are not technological literate are just able to simply scan a QR code and make payments in a very safe and secure manner. They're able to receive payments. They don't have to rely on a third person or their family member to send and receive payments. So I think if you look at these smaller, finer details, how rural India has been changing itself because of the evolution of technology and adoption of technology in these areas, it is leading to the less migration to urban areas. Look at Northeast. Could you have imagined 15, 20 years ago that as a farm weaver or a handicraft seller or trader in northern East India would be able to sell his products in Delhi? I mean, some big businessmen will go there, they will buy those products at throwaway prices, 80% of the revenue would be lost in supply chain and the margins by these big sellers. Today, they are simply selling their products on online platforms like ONDC, Flipkart, Amazon, and they are able to secure most of the revenue and profits. And it is because the adoption of technology, internet, mobile phones, and those platforms which are available, and the courier and delivery services, road infrastructure which are available in those areas. So I think the biggest checks and balance in this technological revolution is social justice and the social inclusion and the focus on rural areas for the adoption of technology.
Wanting to draw your attention now to job creation and the role of the IT revolution, the Minister of State for Electronic and IT, Mr. Jiten Prasad, said that the government has established 65 software technology parks in India, and these centers are now of which 57 are in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. And of course, this is an initiative that will increase connectivity, and it will set up IT hubs and create employment, including getting women, which is another marginalized sector, into the employed workforce, and as you said earlier, organized workforce. Where are we positioned in terms of, so past few years have actually seen this has happened. Have the outlays turned out related into the relevant outcomes?
I think if one was to be very honest, I mean, the whole sector is very less dependent on the government when it comes to initiative like Software Technology Parks of India. They were very, very critical, very helpful, maybe, you know, 6 years, 10 years down the line. But today, so much of infrastructure has come up at the village level, at panchayat level, that even without these parks, government has made so much technological infrastructure available in this area. For example, every village almost now has a high-speed optic fiber cable. They don't have to go to a technology park to get a high-speed internet. It is available anyways across the store. You don't have to wait for a good air-conditioned office and go to a technology park to come up in your city. It is anyways available. There are so many government offices, private incubators, private accelerators which are available. Software technology parks do help to scale a startup. So once you are have a startup of 10, 15 people, in these parks you can find spaces with basic infrastructure available, clean spaces, good connectivity and other facilities and transport available in a very organized and structured and a very cost-effective manner. But I think maybe 5 years down the line, we would have had probably a software technology park or is parallel or is alternate available in every village, not in just 80, 90 districts. So I think that is a success story which is happening, and it is happening both because of the collaboration of public and private sector, because private sector has also realized that technology may not bring the job creation at the scale you're imagining. It will create business opportunities. It may not create employees, it might create entrepreneurs. This is a raging debate in India that people say that there are less jobs. And the alternate story is the way you look at the glass is half empty or half full. I look at the ways that the technology has created unimaginable number of entrepreneurs, small businesses, small people today. I mean, just imagine a person taking an online tuition class throughout the day, independently under the name of his own company. We do not count that as an employment. It is. Just because he is not working on a payrolls of a private company is getting his PF. He is making 4 times, 5 times more money. And it is only because of the available of high-speed internet technology and these platforms which are available, which has given him an opportunity to teach students in urban cities while sitting in his village. So I think don't look at technology only on the numbers, in the numbers of job creation. I think look at with a context of opportunity creation, business creation, and entrepreneur creation.
The ripple effect is what really is going to give it momentum. What's the next big thing, Jitin, in IT? What can we really look forward to in terms of this revolution?
I think 3 challenges we would look. A, the regulation and governance of use of artificial intelligence. We have to ensure that it is not used to carry out scams, frauds, crimes, which are now increasing, that people are using deepfake videos to carry out scams, extort money and all those things. 2, I think government also has to see, while you are able to digitalize the entire economy at an unprecedented scale, while you are able to bring 40 crore people for the first time in the structured banking sector using Jan Dhan accounts, while you are able to get 50 to 55% of internet users on rural India, it's very easy to climb to the top. It's very difficult to stay. We have to ensure that we are able to retain and protect the trust of people, especially in the rural areas of the marginal section of society, the poor people, their faith and trust in our digital systems. What I am hinting at, today if a fraud happens to a person in an urban city, even if 3 lakh rupees are stolen, he can go file an FIR, he can call up 1930, he can write to regulator. Eventually, he will have some remedy available because he's an educated person. But if you go to a village, if a poor farmer is scammed with 2000 rupees by these scamsters or OTP fraudsters sitting somewhere in city in India, police do not register FIR. They do not know how to investigate. Now, 3 lakh rupees for a rich person in urban cities might be a money he might be spending in a month. But for someone in rural India, 2,000-3,000 rupees might be his entire year savings.
Absolutely.
30,000 rupees or 3 lakh rupees might be his entire life savings for a children's marriage or a home. And these financial crimes now today constitute almost 80 to 85% of cyber complaints. And 90% of them have no resolution. So I think we have to figure out a system where people who are low-income groups, any financial fraud happening with them should have equal priority in resolution of a complaint which is provided or accorded to a rich person in the resolution of his complaint. And I think that is missing, and we must focus on that.
Jitin, thank you so much for joining us on the program today. It was wonderful speaking with you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on Information Technology Penetration in India. The participants were Jitin Kumar Jain, IT expert, and Gaurav Dhawanlal, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsctalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 92 8909-4044.